and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you doing today?
I am feeling magical.
Well, I'm glad you are because, you know, we have a wonderful community of listeners that are just so gracious with their time and their appreciation for the show that we put on each week for folks. And we do hear a lot from them. We hear a lot from the listeners, both on, you know, social media platforms, on the Facebook page, interacting with the show on Instagram, that type of thing. And we've been receiving a lot of questions, specifically really over the last month. And we wanted to take some time to answer some of those questions for the folks that asked them, but also for the rest of you that maybe are having some of these questions as well. So we've kind of compiled a list of these questions. And since we were fortunate enough to be able to track down who asked them, we reached out to them and said, would you like to record a voice note and be featured on the show? And they were gracious enough to do so. So if you'll indulge me tonight, Sandy, we're going to listen to some of what of our listeners' questions are and try to give them the best answers we can.
I think it's awesome. I love hearing from our listeners, whether it's obviously to book their trip and talk all the details of their trip or just with a question, because it does tell me, even though I can see it, our statistics, how many people are actually listening and how they value what we have to say, which is the greatest bit of encouragement to keep going week after week.
Well, and the reality is, too, we say we're trying to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be. So if these are topics that you think are helpful for you, we want to know that. So reach out to us, podcast at letstalkdiz.com. You can go to the website, letstalkdiz.com, and the contact us appears right on the top there. We may even encourage you to email it with a voice note. So we'll take it from there. But we're going to, without further ado, we're going to hear from the listeners. So our first question comes in one of your favorite topics. So I'm excited to hear your take on it. Here we go.
Hi, Sandy and Jeff. I am curious about the Skyliner that we see flying overhead while we're in line at Epcot. We were in France waiting for Remy's ride and wanted to know, where does it go? And do you have any good strategies on how to use that Skyliner throughout the day or once at least when you're there visiting Epcot? Thanks so much.
The first question, of course, is a Sky Gondola question. So, Sandy, go ahead. Take it.
There we go. And Remy's is the perfect spot to be looking at it and thinking about it. So the Sky Gondola system is kind of another version of the monorail system. It links different things. It has a hub. There are actually three different Sky Gondola lines. So one of them is right outside the World Showcase, that back entrance near Remy of Epcot. And if you hop on it there, that's the longest line. That will take you over a little bit of Epcot, over the roadway, with its first stop at Riviera Resort. And then you can stay on there if you're not getting off at Riviera and continue on to the hub at Caribbean Beach. But again, you could hop off just to visit the Riviera Resort. Maybe you've got a dinner at Topolino's. That's a great way to get there if you're in Epcot, or if you want to go and try one of the restaurants over at Caribbean Beach. Caribbean Beach, everybody has to get off the gondola. And then you can get on one of two different lines from there. One line is going to take you over. It's a shared stop for Pop Century and Art of Animation. And I will tell you, the first time I rode that one, it kind of freaked me out a little bit. The landing platform is in the lake. So you kind of see you're above the water, but miraculously, you land right on that platform. And both of those resorts are so much fun to go and explore. Take your walk down Route 66, some of the best gelato on property over at the Art of Animation food court. So you can really just ride it to go see. And then that third line, again, originating in Caribbean Beach, is going to take you over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And the great thing about the gondola is if you just want to ride them, even though two of the lines end in a park, they actually end outside of a park. So you won't need park admission to ride the gondolas, just like you don't need park admission to ride the monorail system.
The Skyliner itself is an attraction. My family and I rode it, you know, for the very first time for all of us to have ridden it on one of our most recent trips. And the kids just wanted to keep riding it. So it believe it or not, it's the shortest line you're going to wait on there, or at least it was from my experience. And it's definitely an attraction. You get to see a whole lot of property. So the question is sound. You know, what is the strategy? The strategy, I think you've laid it out. It really depends upon what it is you want to see, because there are a couple of different options that you can take, and they each see different things.
Most definitely. Just keep in mind, they will stop the gondolas if there's lightning in the area.
All right. Our next question.
Hey, Jeff and Sandy. I have a question about, I'll call them the free play areas. I do not know what they're called in appropriate Disney terms. But what I'm talking about is Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse and Tom Sawyer Island. I'm curious, like, what's the best approach and what's the best strategy and how to use them while you're visiting the parks? And then also, what other ones maybe I don't know about? So I know of those two. What other areas exist like those? So I'm very curious to hear your answers. Thanks.
I just have to take this one first, if I can get on a soapbox for 10 seconds. These experiences, these free play experiences, are absolutely necessary for some of our kids. And I think one of the problems that we see families run into so often is they have such a desire to cram so many things into their trip that they don't allow their kids some of these times to just play in some of these areas to get out some of that energy that then we see manifesting itself into the meltdown. So I think this is an awesome question. These are definitely places that we take our family every time we do a Disney trip, because we think that it helps keep their temperament even keel. So I love that this question came in. I love that people are thinking about it. And I love that there are places like this really all throughout property to afford those opportunities for families. So I'll let you tackle some of it, and I'll pepper with some of my experience too.
And it is a great question. I will say it really got me thinking. I kind of paused a little bit to go, all right, let me really think through all those spots, because we know that Disney is always changing. So some of the free play spots that used to exist no longer do. So I will say, before we even get into the park, every resort has a playground, and definitely make use of it. Like you said, especially maybe you've had a super long flight, you're coming cross country. Everybody needs some time to, as I always said, get your wiggles out. You know, standing in line and sitting and eating. The attractions are great, but little guys need to move. Yep. Big guys sometimes need to move. But I'll start with her two examples, and I will say they are very, very different. So I'm going to paint the picture of Tom Sawyer Island first. You're going to get on this large raft. They're going to row you over. You're kind of soaking in the sun. It might be pretty hot, depending when you're going. And then, really, it's all yours. Do what you want. Spend 10 minutes before you come back, spend 3 hours before you come back, walk around, run around, explore, have some fun. Very open and easy accessible. Swiss Family Treehouse, you're going to earn that time to run around. It is 6 stories tall and 116 stairs. And kind of like we say at the Haunted Mansion, you know, there's no way out. You don't get 35 stairs up and go, nah, you know what? I don't think we want to do this. It's an all-in, but definitely a fun one. It's also a great spot to escape the heat. It's a super shaded area and just unique. And I'm going to make myself sound old here, but that basic play and basic fun entertainment. There is no music track blaring. There is no audiometronics. There's just kids and their imagination. And I think that's so important every day.
Yeah, I agree. I know that there are a couple of these environments throughout the parks. If you want to just rattle off a couple of them, maybe give the location for folks that are unfamiliar, just so they can, you know, drop by.
You bet. And when I thought about them, I actually thought about there's two different kinds of things like this. There's the ones that we were talking about, but then there's also a lot of water play ones, and a lot of people, especially in the summer, let their little ones go in fully dressed. It's hot. They'll dry off soon. Others prepare for it and bring a change of clothes. So in the Magic Kingdom, I love the waiting area for Dumbo.
Yep.
Is an indoor tent, and you have a pager like you might get in a restaurant while you wait your turn to ride Dumbo. you're not ready to go when they paid you, it's okay. Stay and play. There's a limited amount of seating for adults. Right near there is Casey's. That does also have the water like I was talking about. Not exactly the same, but the Liberty Riverboat is a really great way to kind of have that little bit of calm downtime. Maybe you're looking for a nap.
Yep.
Or maybe you're looking to wear them out. And I see lots of kids running upstairs and downstairs on the riverboat. So a good way to get some energy out. When we head over to Epcot, you will find fountains there as well in several different spots in Epcot. There's three that come to mind right away for me. There is in Mission Space, not necessarily for the little ones. Some of the older ones might enjoy it more. But there's a free kind of video game room that's all about spaceships. So a good way, again, something that you can do without waiting in line. And when you're there for the festivals, they typically will build one or two awesome playgrounds for each of those Epcot festivals. So take time to see them. Most of them do have age limits. Sometimes they'll do a younger children's playground and an older one. But I'm always in love with what they do. And again, if you're just looking for where can I see things and do things but not feel that constraint of being in line, I love the area when you get off of the Finding Nemo ride, mm-hmm. where you can go see the manatees and the fish tank, and they've got the diver and explaining how, you know, the water bubbles work. So again, an area to really kind of walk around and enjoy, but not so many rules.
Yeah, and there's also that play area there where you can jump right inside the shark's mouth and get your nice little picture taken. I mean, there's a lot of places to hang out, especially that's a staple for us. We're constantly in the Living Seas afterwards, whether we've done the Nemo ride or not, to be perfectly fair.
Yep. And you can just enter through the gift shop. You don't have to wait in line. I will say, if you're going to get that energy out and play, avoid it when it's raining, because it does become very crowded as a good indoor spot without waiting online.
Definitely. Definitely.
And then heading over to Animal Kingdom, though super basic there, there are just so many walking trails and so much free space that you can really head out to see the gorillas or the lions, those different treks that they have. I also love taking that train out to Conservation Station, and the petting zoo area there is a great spot. Again, lots of free space, lots of get your wiggles out. And then they also, over by Dino Land, have the Boneyard. So you can dig and play and do the slide. The one thing I do encourage in some of these areas, you can pretty easily lose track of your child. So definitely stay kind of close, even though a lot of them have seating, because one of you, you or them, are going to lose sight of the other one and get that moment of panic. The last thing that I will say at all of the parks is, if you have young children, the baby care centers are phenomenal. Everyone has one. They're located typically right by the first aid spot. And there's an open area with rocking chairs if you need to do feeding. There's private rooms if you prefer to breastfeed in private. Diaper changing areas. You can also purchase supplies there if you forgot. But it's always not necessarily the spot to run around. But if you need that break, it's a cool way to kind of get away and get yourself or your child a little refocused.
And rest in peace to the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, because that would have made the list. We're still searching for a couple places like that at Hollywood Studios. I think that's something that we should expect to see. All right, so we're going to segue over to something that is specific to capturing the memories here with our next question.
Hey, Jeff and Sandy, I'm curious if you have any tips or tricks on how to find the different types of photographers that are out there to help take pictures of my family. The ones that I'm curious about, if there's a way to find them easier than just going up to every photographer and asking if they're the one. But we're looking for that 360 camera in Epcot that goes around in a circle. And then also the like super zoom ones. I've seen them in Magic Kingdom and in Epcot. So I'm curious. Oh, and also the ones where like they'll put like a character on your hand, or something. How do you know what photographers have those special technologies? I'm curious if there is a way to find them easily. Thanks so much.
Good question.
It is a good question. It is a little bit of Disney magic. They used to make it super easy. There was a download guide that you could get, and they updated it about once a month because that stuff does change.
Okay.
I just went to get it to put the link in the show notes, and it does not exist at the moment. So what I will suggest is, and I will put both of these links in the show notes, the Disney PhotoPass page on Facebook, they put new things that they're offering and generally where you can find them. I would not go back more than about 45 days. So don't start stocking it 6 or 8 months before your trip, because that stuff changes. The other thing they do is when a new season comes, like right now with the holiday season, they will have a link. They'll put one photo on their Facebook page, but there'll be a whole post on Disney Parks blog that shows all the photo options and where to get them. Sadly, sometimes the easiest way is just to ask, because some of those special effect ones, like where they put something on your hand or Stitch popping up out of Main Street, those can be in different places, or the photographer has it but doesn't always offer it. So definitely ask. Don't feel like you're causing trouble. But the biggest tip that I will give you, if you want some really cool photo options, if you're spending time in Disney Springs, head to their photo pass location. You can do kind of a mini photo shoot, and they'll give you lots of choices.
Very cool. All right, we got a couple time for a couple more today. Here's our second to last question.
Hi, Jeff and Sandy. This is JP from Jersey. My wife and I are planning a childless trip in February and are looking for a great place for a casual drink. What are some of the best places on property to do this?
Talk about
that's
open up the box.
That, you know, thank you, JP. I think that's an entire episode that could be your entire week.
Yeah, easily.
But I'll give a couple of my favorites that are a little bit more unique. Two that come to mind in park, besides the bazillion different drinks you can get around the world in Epcot.
Right.
Tap House in Hollywood Studios is a real favorite of mine. Great outdoor seating. You're kind of just in the middle of that theme park atmosphere, watching. I love to people watch. You can see everything go by. Great beers, great pretzels, and just take a break. Over in Animal Kingdom, the Nomad Lounge, a very zen kind of place, a nice quiet break from the theme park, very different from Tap House, and lots of unique drinks on their menu. So they're a great one to try. Outside of the park, so many options, but I'm going to narrow it down here.
Good luck.
I couldn't talk about drinks without sending you to my absolute favorite place on property, which is Jelly Rolls, the Dueling Piano Bar over at the Boardwalk. Drinks and entertainment, it doesn't get better than that. Different kind of entertainment.
I was going to say, it might get better with the one you're going to mention next.
Well, would be Trader Sam's over at the Polynesian. Jelly Rolls wins out for me the majority of the time, A, because I love Dueling Pianos and the Dueling Piano Guys. But it is incredibly rare for me to wait to get in, and I can sit for hours and not feel any pressure.
Right.
Trader Sam's is so much fun. Super, super pricey drinks. And often you will go and they will say to you, the wait list to get in right now is 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 2 hours. It can be tough.
Yep.
If you just want the great drinks, there is an outside version. They don't do all the little comic-y things with the drinks, but they serve the same great drinks.
And that puts you outside at the Polynesian too. So if it's a beautiful night, there's upside to that as well.
Most definitely. If you really want a quiet, little more upscale, it's still casual, but I love the ambiance, a kind of date night place. Head over to Enchanted Rose at the Grand Floridian, and pretty unique there. You can sit in Belle's library on these super plush sofas. You can sit in a secondary room that has the bar in it. And they do have a very limited amount of outdoor patio seating there as well. So great options at Enchanted Rose. And then again, I'm about being entertained. I don't know if that says a lot about me, but if you're in Disney Springs, I love the Edison. You can have a drink. You've got your entertainment. And you've got bacon on a clothesline and cotton candy frosting. I mean, it's the perfect combination. I will also say, in all fairness, Jelly Rolls always has a cover charge. Edison has a cover charge on the weekend. So the others are all just go in, do or don't buy a drink, enjoy the ambiance. But I want to be upfront about the cover charge on those two options.
But stay tuned, JP, because this may be a show all by itself. So we may be answering that question at length a little bit later on.
You know, I might have to go do some more research.
It's important. The research is important. You want to be the Disney master. You got to put in the time. That's the way that it goes. So, all right, here comes our last question, which is always a hot topic.
Hi, Jeff and Sandy. My question is, what is the best way to avoid paying extra for Genie Plus, but still being able to get on all the rides?
Go ahead.
Well, there's a lot of answers to that. And we'll take them in a chronological order for what's going to be the most effective to the least effective. The most effective is if you have flexibility when you're traveling. If you're there Christmas week, Easter, even Thanksgiving weekend, it's going to be tough to do all the rides without Genie. If you'd like to go the second week in January, the middle of September, there's definitely some times that are going to lend themselves more to shorter lines, which means you can avoid paying for Genie. Again, Genie's always going to save you time, but sometimes it may not be worth it for you. So time of year is definitely going to be your number one way. Number two way is really looking at days of the week that different parks have different trends and other events that might be going on in the park that make one day better or worse. We do a lot of trip planning with our clients, and not everybody gets the same plan. Not everybody goes to Epcot on Tuesday because different times of year, different lengths of stay dictate what park might influence your choice. Third thing is definitely going to be an on-site guest. Right now, every park on-site guests get in 30 minutes early. And I will digress briefly and say I had a client this week that says to me, they used to give us an hour. Now they're only giving us 30 minutes. Well, you're right, except they used to give you an hour in a different park every day. Now it's 30 minutes in all four parks. So even though you're getting less time, they've divided the crowd into four locations into one instead of one. So you're actually able to do a lot in that first half hour. And then the last thing, once you've gone through all of those options, it does take planning and strategy. And there's a part of me that hates that. This isn't going to the beach. Sorry, Jeff. You can't show up, put your chair down, put the umbrella up, put on your lotion and sit down and be good to go. If you want to avoid paying for Genie, you need to know what you're doing. And choice of where you go first, where you maybe go during a parade, during fireworks, times where other people are getting off those lines is going to be key to the smallest waits for you.
Well, and I'll double down on something that you said too, staying on property. The location of where you're staying on property will help that too. So if you're really concerned about hitting specific attractions and you are able to spend a certain amount of money to stay in a particular location, you're going to be able to get to those attractions sooner. So that is why a travel specialist is just totally key.
Most definitely. Like right now, the deluxe resorts have two nights a week where they get time by themselves, not even all those people for the morning. Just the deluxe resorts, and it varies each week, but it's a combination of Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Hollywood Studios. So imagine how much you can get done in that 2 hours when there's such a small amount of people.
All right. I know we had a couple of questions that we didn't get to tonight, and I apologize to those folks that did take the time to send in some questions. I don't think this will be the last time we do a show like this. So I appreciate you sending it in. We will kind of get to them at another date. But is there anything that we didn't cover that you think you want to mention, you know, in any of the topics that we covered tonight?
I think we covered a lot. Obviously, there's bits and pieces of some of these things in our other shows. And again, I just want to thank all of our listeners for listening every week and for reaching out with your questions. I love hearing from you.
And if you do have any questions, again, I'll reiterate, you can email us podcast@letstalkdiz.com. You can go to letstalkdiz.com and hit the contact us option on the top there. However works for you, we'd love to hear from you both in the written word. And if you send a voice note, it may end up on the show one day. Sandy, thanks for your expertise and enjoy the rest of the week.
Thanks. You as well.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share, have them like, and subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.